Welcome to Jump Scare. I'm Betty.
And I'm Shad. Today we're going to start our summer of double features. For the next month or so, we're going to do two movies at a time. We're going to start off with Motel Hell and Tourist Trap.
One after another they come. Never hearing no sounds from the secret garden. Never suspecting they will soon be making those sounds. One after another they check in and pray for the day they can check out. Motel Hell. Coming October 31st from United Artists. Just in time for Halloween.
Motel Hell was released in 1980. It was directed by Kevin Connor, who, weirdly enough, is still directing films, and he directed five Christmas films within like 2002 to like 2015, or now he's directed these Christmas movies, and they're kind of like, some of them are Hallmark movies. Yeah. Have I seen some of them? Maybe.
You've seen all of them.
Maybe I saw The Christmas Kiss Part 2. Who fucking knows?
Hey, look, you gotta work. Motel Hell never got a sequel. So, hey, he's gotta work.
He's still working. He was born in 1937. I was like, shit, he's still working? He's even still alive. I'm really terrible with math. Now, this film is about a brother and sister, Ida and Vincent, who run a motel, Motel Hello, and sell their beef jerky.
Yeah, it's a very heartwarming story about a family that stays together and keeps the family legacy alive. No, just kidding. They're killing people and making them into beef jerky.
It takes all kinds of critters to make Farmer Vincent's fritters. You know, this movie has so many crazy fucking lines. The movie's crazy.
Yeah, this is the movie, the first time you see it, you don't even know what the hell to think about this movie, because you always see, like, for years, I saw the pictures in Fangoria or different magazines or little snippets of just the pig head costume and the chainsaw. So I thought that was what the whole movie was. I thought he was going around killing everyone throughout the whole movie using the chainsaw while wearing the pig head, and didn't realize that that's just a small part at the end, you know?
That would have been pretty cool, I guess, to see him. And then, like, why is he... Is it, you know, is it like a PETA thing? Like, why is he with the pig head running around, like, killing the people, but he's not? Because that's just, like, the last, you know, the most awesomest chainsaw fight scene in movie history occurs in this film.
Yeah, this movie just cracks me up because it's so far off the wall. Like, I don't even know what the hell you had to be doing to come up with this movie.
Now, they have a brother named Bruce, and he's the sheriff.
The sheriff. Your brother is the sheriff. You're murdering people and making them into beef jerky at your motel, and your brother has no idea what's going on. So, this means your brother is the worst fucking cop in the history of cops.
Yeah, because to be fair, though, they're not killing everyone that's going through the motel. They have different ways. They kill some people that have come to the motel. They booby trap the road to get some other people. And from the looks of it, he's going pretty far out. It's not like at the edge of his, like, it's not like his house and then like a dirt road and then like the road, you know, where he's getting like right in front of the motel. It's a little ways off. So he has, Farmer Vincent has some techniques of where he gets his victims. You know, I don't know how the fuck he chooses, but, you know, the film, he chooses a victim, and this is the booby trap he uses twice in the film, where he sets out the, like, fucking thing to blow the tires out.
Yeah, like the spike strips, like the cops use.
And he gets this girl and her boyfriend that are on a motorcycle.
Yeah, this woman.
Yeah, Terry. Terry is the most interesting victim who's not a victim in a movie, because she befells this terrible accident. You know, she's knocked the fuck out for a little while.
Her boyfriend, husband, whoever is on the motorcycle, we're never really clear if, you know, who this guy is. He's older than her, which comes into play later. But they don't really say, are they married? Is that her boyfriend?
Yeah, they don't really... Well, they kind of... It's her boyfriend, but she just totally... It's like, look, if it was me and you, like, on a bike, and we get into a terrible accident, I wake up, I don't see you, I ask for you, you're like, oh, they tell me you're dead. I'm like, where's your body, whatever, you buried him? Then they're like, oh, yeah, we just buried him, like, and then the cop is like, you were not supposed to do this, like, you were just supposed to bury this body.
But yet, he really doesn't do anything about it. He just goes, ah, fuck it, they've already buried him, I guess we can't dig him up, we'd have to get an exhumation order for this illegal burial. What the fuck, guy? Dig him up.
Yeah, no, he's not concerned whatsoever. You know, they kind of fill that plot hole later on. Like, literally the ending of the movie. Bruce, like, says, as they're, like, leaving, he's like, well, I left home. I'm glad I left home when I was 11 or 12 or whatever. So, to indicate, like, he did not know that this was going on the whole time. He's innocent. But it's like, how innocent can you be when, you know, in the little town that you have... There's like 500 people that go missing a year. Kind of sus.
Yeah, and then like I can only imagine the investigation that's going to happen after this movie's over. And they're like, first of all, there's all the people that survive. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But so, yeah, so Terry, you know, she wakes up. Her boyfriend is gone. She doesn't know where he is. But she doesn't make any phone calls. She doesn't call any family. She doesn't call his family and tell him he's dead. Nothing. She's just like, all right, I guess I'm hanging out with this old dude and his sister at the farm now. Might as well just do this. No worries whatsoever. No, like, hey, where's all my shit? Oh, I brought you some clothes. You'll be fine. No. No. How the hell? I mean, I know it was like the 70s and there were hippies and all that, but how much grass was she smoking that this was all okay with her?
No, she definitely, she has no care in the world. I'm like, my question is, how do you stay at a place with creepy strangers and totally leave your life behind? She didn't have a life. She kind of did mention, like, she was kind of like, you know, just a drifter, just going about, you know, that's how she got involved with this guy, we're assuming, because she's, you know, he's just, oh, I'm on the back of a bike, roaming from town to town, just having a good time. She's fucking Jamie Lee Curtis in the fog.
Yeah, that's it. Except it went way worse for her than it did for Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, well, that's because it was an Atkins time for her, that's why. Yeah. So, you have, you know, these people making these beef jerky. It's beef jerky, by the way, they're making. And it's a mix of pork and people. And it is the best-selling beef jerky around. Like, people are just, love it. There's a scene where this family... You know, how much was it? It was some ridiculous amount. It was like a dollar for like fucking 50 fucking sticks.
It was a dollar for like 8 pieces of beef jerky. It was a dollar.
No, it was a box. It was a box of meat.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was $8 for the big box. Yeah, it was $8 for the giant box.
We were like, good, that's some fucking... That's some fancy ass meat.
I guess
meat.
When you're just using people as your meat, you can afford to go low profit on that because you didn't have to pay anything to get them.
That's true. Well, they did have some pork in there, so they have to have something.
You know, they could just got some bologna from the store and called it the even.
Oh, my goodness. This movie. So, these people are getting these victims, you know, however they're getting them, whether they're staying at the hotel or booby-trapping them. And then they're making little garden of people.
Yeah. It's because you don't just cook them and eat them right away. You got to fatten them up for a little while. So they cut everybody's vocal cords.
Because we can't have people screaming. That's going to cause too much attention.
Yeah. And, well, I say that, yeah, they do cut them. They do cut their vocal cords. I was thinking they poured something down their throat, but that's their special protein mix they're giving them later.
Yeah, they cut their vocal cords and they make this weird fucking shrieky noise.
And then they bury the people, like with just their head sticking out of the ground like a freaking carrot. And they just come around every day and they put the hose in their mouth and feed them through the hose, just pour the gruel down their neck. And then they just keep them there until they're ready to harvest. And they harvest them by just tying a rope around their neck and go taking off in the tractor until it breaks their neck, and then they just pull them out of the ground and Send him over to the sausage or the beef jerky factory.
First of all, I'm disappointed in you right now, because how are you going to totally skip over the psychedelic effect that they fucking put on these people first?
That's right. I forgot. They want to kill them humanely. I guess they're kosher, so they want to make sure they're killed humanely. So they set up like the weird, like fucking spinny background. It looks like it's from the old hypnotism movies of the 30s. And play weird music until the people are all like freaking out, their heads are shaking, they're all hypnotized, and that's when they pull them in the tractor.
Yeah, because, you know, you don't want to eat meat that's filled with fear.
Yeah, they get the stink of fear in that beef jerky.
Yeah, that's not good selling meat. You want happy meat.
I don't know, I kind of want to try fear jerky.
Ugh, sounds fearful. I don't like it. I don't want to eat that.
No, I definitely want to try fear jerky.
I definitely don't want to have anything from Farmer Vincent's farm, that's for fucking sure. Not even the non-human stuff, because goodness knows what the fuck they're taking. They got to use every part, right, of the body.
Yeah, you're getting some special hoof meat on that one, I'm sure. But yeah, and in addition to all the craziness we just mentioned, we've got the sheriff there who decides to take Terry out on a little date. So does he take her to the drive-in? Yes, he does. The drive-in in 1980 probably cost, I don't know, $1 a person.
I said 50 cents.
50 cents to $1 a person. It's a drive-in, so maybe 50 cents a person. No, he doesn't take her to the drive-in. He takes her to a hill that's like the lover's lane of the area. He chases everybody away and then tunes the radio to the drive-in frequency, and they sit on the hill and look at the movie through the one pair of binoculars he bought. He doesn't even bring two pairs. They just have to take turns to watch the movie.
For free.
For free.
Cheap ass.
Now that right there should tell you what kind of a life you're in for with this guy.
Well, first of all, you so casually mentioned that he swatted the people their way. Yeah, it was a fuck fest in the open fields. Like, there's just everyone who's just like the old school, like 50s, like, you know, up in the hill where everyone's just banging. The cars are shaking, asses are raw. People are running around naked when he comes in. Like, he makes all those people go away so he can, you know, have his date. He can have fuck fest alley. He can have his date, you know.
So, yeah, to save probably $1 or $2, he did all this.
And let me tell you, he didn't even fucking bring popcorn.
No, he
brought enough. Didn't even bring any of his brother's infamous meats.
No, he brought nothing. We're just going to watch the movie for 2 hours with no drink, no bathroom facilities. It's fine.
One binocular.
And then, probably 5 minutes into the movie, he's like, I think this is the time you make with the sex. And he just starts groping her and just full on tries to assault her right there in the car. And it's like, gosh, I don't know why you slapped me upside the head. I was just trying to have sex with you against your will. I mean, I know it's 1980, but come on.
Well, she wasn't interested in him because whether what's that fucking syndrome when you get kidnapped?
Stockholm syndrome.
She told in like fucking a day. She totally forgets about motorcycle guy, which if you saw him, he's totally forgettable. And then she's like, you know what? I'm really into Farmer Vincent. Well, I'm in love with him. She's in love with him. They're going to get married. Like, they're off getting married and, you know.
Yeah, and she was totally going to have sex with him immediately, but he's like, oh, no. Now, look, I kill people and keep them and eat them. I keep them in a garden out back. And
he says in his mind, not alone.
In his vocal cords, but I will not have premarital sex with you because some things are just wrong, my dear.
Yeah, he's not about the premarital sex. He can kill all day long, but he's not about that.
He's got his standards.
He's, you know, he's literally, I don't know, fucking pushing 60 probably. This girl's, I'm going to say she's 22.
20 to 22. He's at least 60.
She just rips her clothes off and is ready naked on the bed for him. And he's like, no, we're going to have to get married.
Yeah, because he's got a lot of options out there in the wilderness.
Well, Ida was not about that shit, and she tries to kill this. Not to give the whole movie away, but she does try to kill poor Terry.
Well, this movie's 40 years old, so we can give it away.
And, it doesn't work out well for either one of them, really. Well, no, I guess it does work out well for Terry, but...
But here's a question for all the ladies out there. If you're drinking champagne, and two of you are drinking champagne, and it's, I don't know, champagne-colored, and your glass looks like it's full of fucking NyQuil, Do you think that maybe something...
The Green Knight quote. I would say it's full of fucking, like, goblin blood. Because this shit was green as fuck.
Yeah, it's like the old school green NyQuil. Like the green death flavor of NyQuil. Your glass is full of that shit. Wouldn't you be a little suspicious and be like, I think this might be that date rape drug I've heard about. And of course, she takes literally one sip of this, like a little, and she is out like a light.
Well, she weighed like 105 pounds, so...
But still, how strong is this shit?
It was mad strong. This is farmer shit right here. That's just, you know, that's like, it was probably made for a fucking animal to knock out like a fucking cow or something.
Yeah, so that's, they knock her out because, of course, they got to finish up the new batch of beef jerky. Which, I'm wondering, like, how long do you think Farmer Vincent imagines that he'll be able to keep the fact that he's murdering people from his wife? I mean, he's kept it from the brother for a long time, granted, but the brother's clearly an idiot. But does he think, like, oh, this girl will never catch on? She's just a girl. She'll never figure out I'm a murderer. Is that his thoughts? Because, you know, that's kind of the way he is, so...
Who knows what the fuck he was thinking there? He probably thought, you know what? We're going to get married. She's going to be so in love. And then she's just going to join the family business. Maybe that's what his thought was. She was going to be in on it and everything was going to be good and dandy.
Yeah, I guess so. Now, we see that the brother and sister have kind of an interesting relationship when the couple that is coming to the motel and they get there by accident. I think they stop at the wrong hotel and... They're there to meet someone for a swingers party.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does not go well for them when they run into the brother and sister. When they meet Farmer Vincent and his sister there. And they think he's all into it. He's like, oh, yeah, we'll go for the swinging thing. And he brings in the ropes and ties them up.
Which is what made them so docile. Like, they were ready for it. They were, like, expecting, okay, yeah, this is what we came here for the swingers thing. Dominatrix, you know, get tied up, bondage, whatever. They were all into it. And that's why they didn't put up any fight, because they didn't go in like, hey, we're trying to kill you. They came in, like, with the fucking equipment or whatever, the props.
And then they gassed them.
Yeah, and then they got gassed. And I would not feel sorry. You know, the one thing about this film is I didn't feel sorry for anyone involved.
Well, I felt sorry for the van full of hippies that they stopped at the, you know.
There's the a band? Van. No, I don't feel sorry for the band.
There's a band full of a van and a band with hippies that are coming along, which one of the lead hippies is John Ratzenberger from Cheers, Cliff. And they literally just, you know, he blows the tires out of the van, and while it's turned over, he just shoves the nitrous tank down in there and knocks everyone out, and then puts them all on the ground. So I felt sorry for the band, because, you know, they were just trying to play a gig, man. They could have been like the Scooby Gang out solving mysteries and shit, and they ran afoul of Farmer Vincent.
Well, you know what? They did not pull off the fucking cheat off of this guy, because they failed tremendously. They got murdered.
Yeah, it did not go well for them.
No, they did not. They didn't even basically put up much of a fight. And there was like five of them. But I guess you're all disoriented. You got into a car crash. I guess you could have one guy take you. Like, it's just him and he's old.
Yeah, but he knocked him out with the gas. Before they could even get out of the car, he's piping the gas down into the car. So, you know, you don't even realize what's happening until it's too late.
The ending of the film is, well, the cemetery picnic. I love that scene.
Yeah, let's all just go have a picnic in the cemetery like you do.
That's quite normal. That's like one of my favorite scenes, just because of the visual and the thought of like, oh, we're going to have this romantic picnic with my sister and, you know, all the dead people around us. It's cool. That's fine. And then I'm going to punch my sister, you know, in the chest. That's cool. We're just friends. Just fucking around.
Just our family. That's the way family does. Sometimes they just haul off and punch each other when they're grown.
Yeah. Wink, wink. Terry, you may be getting punched in the future. Just, you know, for fun. And the end scene, that chainsaw, like I said in the beginning, that chainsaw fight. Just classic.
Because you finally have the brother realize something strange is going on, and...
And of course, a young girl's not gonna... She's bored, she's on a fucking farm, she's locked in the house, she's gonna go exploring, so she stumbles upon bullshit. And, you know, that's after the sister, she tries to, you know, kill her, and then she awakens and sees, oh my god, you know, goes scouting around, and there you go, find some crazy shit. And it's just like, no, that wasn't gonna go well for her. She can't, you can't, let me tell you, if I just all of a sudden now I'm living in this weird, strange place, okay, with a brother and a sister that are way, they're not in their 20s. It's not a cute, like, 20s thing. This is like, he's an old man. His sister's maybe 5 years, you know, younger than he is. These are two old people together in the middle of fucking nowhere. You know, moto hell, because, you know, the O burnt out. The life of the O burnt out. Moto hell. And they're making beef jerky. I'm not going to go exploring anywhere. That wouldn't obviously be me, because I would have fucking ran the fuck out while they were sleeping a long time ago. I would have hitched a ride with someone from the drive-in.
Yeah, I'd have got the hell out of there somehow. I'd have walked if necessary.
Yeah, because there's not going to be anything good going on with that fucking scenario whatsoever. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, you have this, the brother, you know, finally, ding-a-ding-dong, you know, he finally is like, oh, shit.
Something mad suspect is going on here.
Let me be a sheriff for the first time in my life and go investigating. And he does. And hence, we have the chainsaw fight scene.
Yeah, the pig-headed farmer, Vincent, for some reason now, he's put on the pig head. And he's fighting his brother with the chainsaw. And, of course, you know who's going to win. The brother's going to win. So the sheriff wins, and then Farmer Vincent's last words were,
"My meats, I used preservatives."
So he was a fucking liar as well as a cannibal and murderer. Hypocrite. The only thing worse than a cannibal is a fucking hypocrite cannibal.
His shit was not fucking kosher at all.
And then here's the other part that I want to know what the hell happened. Near the end of the movie, all the people in the garden wriggle their way out. And they're running through the house. Like, they end up actually finishing off the sister. And they're just running around with their, like, in their voice.
Ew.
And they never show what the fuck happened to them. What did all of them do? There's like a dozen people coming out of there. They've been buried in the ground. Their vocal cords are cut. They've been force-fed. They just come out and just start roaming the fucking countryside. I feel like the sequel to this should have just been these people who have gone fucking crazy, and now they're just running the countryside murdering people.
I saw that movie. It's called The Hills Have Eyes.
And maybe that's where they went. Who knows? But like I said, they never really mentioned what happened to them, and that's where the brother just kind of casually mentions, like you said, about the, oh, I never really lived with them. Well, I guess we better go start the paperwork on this. It's going to be a long one. I'm going to have to use a lot of carbon paper on this one. Because, you know, 1980, they didn't have copy machines everywhere. So he was going to have to fucking type everything out on old school carbons.
And knowing Terry, she fell in love with a brother and then they had an amazing life together.
Yeah, because, you know, whatever. And yeah, and she never even thought, like, hey, was the guy I was with alive? Did he turn out to be alive since these other people?
Okay, well, she did go looking for him. That's how it happened. Because when she saw the fucking thing, she was like, oh my God, is he here?
She forgot about him pretty quick, though.
No, she sure did forget about him. It was just like, I blinked my eye after you told me he was dead. And then I was like, what's up, Farmer Vincent? You want to see my naked titties?
And then I was like, oh, he might be alive? I should go check on him. Well, I didn't find him. Fuck it. I guess he's dead for real. So I'll just leave.
So we love this movie so much that we co-cosplayed both of our double features. As we went to a convention as Motel Killers.
Yes.
And that was fun. So we'll be putting up a picture of that. And, you know, the correlations between obviously the two films are they're both motel movies.
Yep.
And this movie, the girl falls in love with the old man. But in Tourist Trap, the man was in love with the girl. She was not interested.
Yep.
Well, we're not going to end right now because we're going to segue into our next feature.
Which is Tourist Trap from 1979.
Every year, hundreds of young people travel the country and disappear. God help those who get caught in the tourist trap. Tourist Trap, where beautiful young people looking for excitement tricked, terrorized, trapped,
let go!
Hitler's trap. Shock you can see.
No, no.
Terror you can feel. Heart-stopping suspense that makes this the nightmare that never ends. Something crazy is going on at the tourist trap.
Chuck Connors.
Yeah, you might know him from The Rifleman. You might know him from the werewolf TV show of the 80s. Or you might know him from Airplane.
Or you might not know him at all and just known him as Slauson from yep. Tourist Trap.
But yeah, he was trying to. He had had a TV and movie career, but he was getting older and he thought it might be a good idea to reinvent himself as a villain in things. And so he started taking some of these more like the evil character roles to try and get his career going again, you know, get some more work. Which it was easy to see why he would do that. He's like 6'7", and he's not the most attractive guy out there. So it's easy to see where he could be a pretty intimidating villain if they wanted to cast him as that.
Yeah, he has such presence. Like, he's huge. And he's so, like, I want to hang out with him. Like, I don't want him to kill me, per se. I just want to hear him talk. I like his voice. He has such presence on screen. Like, he's huge. And
Really takes over the scenes when he's in them.
He sure takes over. And especially because the women and the men in the movie are, like, very small compared to him.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, to be fair, you can be, like, 6 feet. And he's still going to be 7 inches taller than you, so...
That's true. He has a lot of inches on there.
And then, so this movie, first of all, weirdly enough, this movie's rated PG, which I don't know how this movie got a PG rating because it's pretty intense. I mean, I know there's no blood, but there is nudity, and there's a lot of very intense scenes in it. They're very creepy. I think someone was just asleep at the wheel on this one, and they just watched the very beginning and the very end, and then were like, yeah, I guess PG's fine.
You know, is it one of those? I'm trying to really think if there was nudity. If there was.
There was brief nudity at the beginning when they're in the. They're skinny dipping in the pond.
But that's like swim nudity. Is that really. It wasn't gratuitous. It was just like we're swimming.
Well, then again, you know, like the original Planet of the Apes movie got a G rating. And. They're, you know, they cuss in it. Yeah. They have Charlton Heston's bare ass in it.
There's no cussing in the film that I can remember. I mean, Slauson's not cussing. He's a gentleman.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone else, none of the women are really cussing. They're too busy screaming for their life.
It was just a very interesting movie to make into a PG. Now, if it had been later on, I could see where maybe it would get a PG-13 or even like a very light R. But just PG is kind of surprising. You know, PG is like... The Spider-Man movie got PG-13, okay?
Yeah, but it's 1979. What did Halloween get when it first came out?
It was an R.
78. Well, yeah, but, okay, I see. I think that's what it is because a lot of people think, when they used to think about Halloween, it's like, oh, it's a blood fest. There's so much blood. There's like a drop in the movie. But probably because he's stabbing people, you know? And this, in the tourist trap... There's not really anything per se like that because it's just mannequins. It's weird. Who knows? We need to go back in time and be there for the fucking reading just so we can find the answer to this because who the hell knows?
And this is also one of the very rare like Charles Band movies that's really good. Most of his Full Moon movies, not that good. They're mostly pretty terrible. But this one is a Charles Band production, and that they really had hit it out of the park on this one. This one's really good.
Well, like in all stories, we have to start at the beginning. We have a group of people friends, men and women, going around, having a good old time, end up, you know, at the Springs. And here is Slauson creepily waiting on the fucking rocks. Like, that was the part that killed me. I was just like, you just came out of nowhere. Mind you, the Slauson's Lost Oasis Mineral Springs and Old West Museum is the sign that they see. So that's why they stop over at the Springs place to, you know, take their dip and whatnot. And he's just there. And he tells them, like, hey, you know, come back to this cool place I have to show you.
Yeah, because they're waiting on one of their friends that supposedly went somewhere to get a new tire for the other car. They're like, well, he hasn't come back. They're like, well, come back to the Old West Museum and you can wait for him there and we'll go see if we can find him and help him out. And oh, by the way, while all you girls are swimming around naked in my pond without permission, you might want to know it's full of snakes.
Yeah, so one of the women actresses in the movie is Tanya Roberts, who plays Eileen. And if you don't know that name, she's Donna's mom from That 70s Show, which is what I refer her to every time I'm like, oh shit, Donna's mom's gonna get it. Oh shit, Donna's mom, move. I can't hope. I'm not like Tanya Roberts, you know, move out of the way. Becky and Molly. Now, the only one that I know is Donna's mom. But you have those chicks, and then who cares about the guys? There's like two guys, right? They get killed off so fast. You just don't really...
Yeah, the guys don't last very long because this is not their movie. This is the girls' movie.
This is not... There's not a lot of character development on the guys' part or the girls' part. The main girl, obviously, because she's a survivor girl, right? But it's mostly a Slauson movie.
Yeah, you get to hear all about him and his life and how things have turned out very badly for him. And
why he does what he does, what has pushed him over the edge.
And, you know, should we mention at this point what's unique about Mr. Slauson?
Mr. Slauson is related to Carrie White.
Apparently. Because, now, you could have done this whole movie with him just killing people. Just being a murderer at the tourist trap. But they decided that, no, what if he also had psychic powers and he could move things around with his mind, if he could do telekinesis, and he's a really skilled mannequin maker to the point that he can make an identical replica of one of the people there. And so detailed, even its voice, that it will fool the people into thinking it's a real person. So not only does he have mad, like, animatronic skills that would put the fucking Walt Disney engineers to shame, he's also got telekinetic powers. There's a lot going on with Mr. Slauson.
It's like Carrie meets...
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Meets... I'm trying to think of a mannequin...
There is no man. This is the only mannequin horror movie. The rest of them are like the mannequin movies with what's his name.
There's a Twilight Zone episode with the mannequins that are able to come to life once in the fucking year.
But yeah, so you've got a lot going on with the killer in this one. And either one would have been enough. Like, if he was just a murderer that was killing people at the tourist trap, that alone would have been enough. But no, they wanted to differentiate a little bit. So you got psychic powers and animatronic skills.
You know, it's the 70s. In the 70s, what was hot in the 70s? Telekinesis, right? Cults. You know, basically anything in search of. Like, all that shit was hot.
Yeah, if Leonard Nimoy or Robert Stack talked about it, they were into it.
Then you have tourist traps, like going around the country in like the Winnebago, whatever, like going to those little...
The biggest ball of string and everything.
Yeah, that was hot. So it was just a lot of little things that were culturally like hot within that decade, balled into this one movie.
Yeah, and it sounds like it would be a hot mess, but it really works, surprisingly.
It does really work. A lot of it has to do with his performance.
Yeah, he's really, like, you know, like, right from the beginning that he's probably going to be the killer, but they put some red herrings out there that, like, oh, does he have a brother that's in helping him out? And he talks about his brother. So at first you think, oh, it's possible it could be the brother and he's just innocent. But no, we're going to spoil it for you now. No, it's Lawson. He's doing it.
Spoiler alert. 40-year-old spoiler alert. There's certain deaths. There's a pipe death.
Yeah, that one. Right at the very beginning, you're just like, as soon as you see that, you know what a fucked up movie this is going to be. The mannequins are all like, the jaws are dropping. They're making the terrible like, scream. And then he just gets a pipe through the chest.
There's a death by scarf. Just yes. Saying it out loud. There's a mannequin squash death where they're getting where the person gets squashed or squished by mannequins. They all collapse on the person. And then there's the scene that was in another horror film that we saw, the Eric calling out scene 90 times. We always forget the fucking name of that terrible movie.
The Slayer.
The Slayer. There was a Slayer scene. Eileen. 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 Calling her 90 times. If Eileen does not answer you, the bitch is not there. And then when she opens the door and she thinks it's fucking her, it's a totally different colored her person. It's not a person. It's a fucking mannequin. And she turns around and it's just like, you just, I don't need, I'm just, that part just gets me every time. I'm just like, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, if they didn't answer you the first 50 times, they're probably not there. And there's the, you know, you get to death by like Plaster of Paris. You get the one where they just tie her to the, he ties her to the table and just suffocates her by putting the like clay or whatever it is, like that he's going to make the mannequin molds with. He just puts it all over her face until she suffocates.
They do show Slauson turning the people, how like the process of how he turns them into mannequins.
Yeah.
Which is cool, which is the whole like, the scene where, you know, the people that he's captured are all in one room and he has the last person he's captured is going to get it now. And they have to literally sit there and watch this horrible thing happen to the girl. And he has different masks, kind of like Leatherface, right? Where he has these like different identities, like a whole, like, yes, like a fisherman's hat fucking yep. look. He has, like, the red scarf with the black fucking shirt and pants look. And there's, I just, what was he thinking in that? I guess it's just very theatrical, you know?
Well, look, you're going to be one of these guys. You live out in the middle of nowhere. You kill people when they come by from time to time. You got to have fun with it. Because if you don't enjoy what you do, what's the point in doing it?
Was he putting foundation or blush, like, on the mask? It's so rosy-cheeked, like...
I'd imagine he was. You know, he's got nothing else to do out there.
He's like, you know what? This one just needs a little bit of, you know, a highlight right here above the cheekbone.
Yeah, he's got the time. He's got the skills. He might as well do it. I mean, look at the mannequins he made. They're amazing. So he knows how to do makeup.
And you, when he's... I don't even know what you would, when he's not Slauson, when he's his other identity, mannequin identities, you never, they're two different people. Like, he pulls it off where he's like the burly, like, strong, you know, wise man with the sad fucking story of how his wife left him for the brother. And then he's the fucking crazy psycho running around with the fucking mask and the wigs.
Yeah.
Like, you, there's not, when I see him dressed up, I don't ever think about, like, oh, that's Chuck Connors, like, or that's Lawson.
Yeah, he does a good job of, like, doing the performances, like, differentiating between the people.
He's able to pull it off.
Yeah.
And in the scene where he tells his sad story, justifies his story, he's like... It's the law. The law's written that shows a man has the legal right to kill his wife and lover if they're caught cheating. Show me. Where is this paper? Where is this law that says this?
Yeah, I don't know. Did he say it was in the Bible?
You know what? I don't know, but that would make it actually... I just thought he was just talking about like a basic... He probably was in the Bible because Farmer Vincent and Slauson were both religious.
Yeah. So I could see where that might be a line in the Bible. I'm not that familiar with it myself.
Wow. Okay. So yes, he may have said that in the Bible, but still, is that written in the Bible?
And I don't think that's really enforceable today.
Thou shall not kill? I know that's in the Bible, so...
There's some contradictory things in there.
Wait, is there like a parenthesis and like a small like fucking like two font Times well, Roman font. I mean, font.
It says thou shalt not kill, but it also says you can stone people to death for eating shellfish. So,
well, shellfish are nasty. Do I eat shellfish? I don't know. Do I? I don't even know. Don't stone me, please. What is your favorite scene in the movie?
I think for me, it's the opening, because that's what hooked me on this movie. The opening and the ending scenes are both just so crazed that, like, as soon as I sat down and started watching it, and it was, you know, you see the mannequins going, you know, yelling, screaming, the pipe comes at him. And this was a movie that I first saw as a kid, and I didn't see the very beginning of it originally. I came in partway through it, and it wasn't until later I saw the beginning, but when I was like 8 or 9, I saw this thing, and I said I was 9 because I saw it at a hotel on vacation, actually.
Dun, dun, dun.
Crazy. I was staying up late watching the movie when I should be asleep, and yeah, I turned on this thing, and it freaked me out. That's why years later when I caught it, I was like, oh shit, it's even creepier than I remembered.
You know, we didn't really explain why the fuck he has all these mannequins everywhere. I mean, we did say that he has like his...
Wild West Museum.
Yeah, he has the Wild West Museum, which justifies why he would have, because he does, I mean, even besides the fact that he has like a mannequin that looks like his wife that's dressed like an angel in there, is it his wife?
I'm pretty sure it is, yeah.
That bitch is his wife. He has like Colonel Custer, General Custard, and a cavalry soldier. There's an Indian.
It's Custard. Custard was from Clue.
General Custard.
Yeah, no, you're thinking of Clue with Colonel Mustard. No, you're talking about General Custer.
General Custer. Oh, we're going to edit that out. But we're not. Because that shit is funny. You know, oh, there is a Dr. Pepper machine. See, okay, before Michael Bay, where there was like all the product placement everywhere, every 5 seconds in his films, there was this movie where there's this big old fucking Dr. Pepper. Just looking at it, I'm just like, delicious.
Which, as a Dr. Pepper fanatic myself, I was watching this movie and I'm like, oh, this is why I love this movie. The subliminal advertising just appealed to me. And I was like, oh, I need this Dr. Pepper. And this movie's amazing.
Jerry is one of the names of the guys.
You just remember that now.
And just remember that because there's a part where he fucking comes in and he's supposed to save this bitch and she doesn't. She is just standing there like looking at him and he's like calling to her and there's fucking Slonson with the fucking mannequins and it's just like, oh, but unbeknownst to her, that was all just a fucking fake out because he was actually a fucking animatronic mannequin.
Who apparently didn't even know he was an animatronic because he looked surprised when Slauson just went over and pulled his head off and tossed it in the corner. He was like, oh shit, I'm a mannequin? What kind of fucking life is this?
It was the Pinocchio thing. He didn't know he was it was the reverse. He was like, oh my god, I'm a mannequin.
I was thinking,
like, I'm not a man.
I was thinking like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where they randomly created someone that's first words were like, ah, again.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that scene always gets me too, because when you're watching and you're like, what the fuck is this guy doing? But of course, obviously, he's not there to save her. He's not even fucking real.
Yeah, he's just there to fuck with her.
You know, and the survivor just it doesn't go well for her at all, because the ending of the movie, oh man, she goes through so much and she's seen her friends get killed and turn into mannequins. You know, there's a point where Donna's mom tries to fucking escape and she does escape and then she gets caught. You know, that's when later on you have the reveal that Slauson's actually the one doing this the whole time. There's no escape for this person. And then this poor girl, she survives, but the ending, I love the ending of the movie, but also it made it seem like a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah. The ending, like I said, we're going to spoil this one. It's just her driving off down the road, and she's got all the bodies of her friends just packed into the Jeep, including the mannequin guy. They're just packed into the Jeep, and she's just driving down the road, kind of like looking very crazed behind the wheel of the car. Can you imagine the first place she stops for gas, and they're like, this is in the days of like full service when they came out to your car and put the gas in. She's going to pull up in front of this and they're going to come out to fill the gas up and be like, oh shit, this woman has got a car full of dead people.
Or mannequins.
Still, I think they're going to freak the fuck out.
How hot is it though? Like, are they going to start like...
Well, everybody was sweaty and they had to jump in the water naked at the beginning of the movie. So I'm thinking it's hot out.
Yeah, it's hot as hell. So yeah, there's gonna be, and then how do you even explain that? Yeah, she has no future.
Yeah, she's fucked.
She should have just dipped herself in the fucking plaster of Paris and just became a mannequin and just stayed there with the wife next to the Dr. Pepper machine.
Yeah, because her life's over. Because she's not gonna be normal after. There's no way you're right after this.
Well, I give this film 4 knives. I was gonna say 4 mannequin hats.
I'll give it 4 of whatever we're giving it.
4 knives.
We'll give it 4 knives then, because this one's another one that I can go back to all the time and love it.
Yeah, it's a pretty great film because it is fucking nuts. It is PG-13.
Just PG.
But I mean, sorry, it is PG. You got me with the PG-13. It is PG, but not PG at all, because of just the insanity of what happens and the kills and all that. But it's one of those that I find to be just very unique. It's not your typical, it doesn't have like 9 things going, you know, at the same time. We did mention there are like little elements here and there, but like you said, it doesn't make the film just incohesive and just a terrible film altogether.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah, and now there's also be coming out very soon, they're releasing a special new box set that has a DVD and a Blu-ray and a Mr. Slauson figure that has an uncut version of the movie that's 5 minutes longer. So maybe that 5 minutes that they cut is what got it down to the PG.
Maybe.
But it'd be interesting to take a look at that one when it comes out.
It's just him there, booty naked, holding a Dr. Pepper thing, while the mannequin is laying in the bed smoking a cigarette.
No words, just that scene for 5 minutes. It just goes on and on.
He's drinking that Dr. Pepper really slowly because he, at the same time, is also on the bed smoking a cigarette. There's a lot of it's a lot of mind control things he has to do all at once.
Yep.
Thank you so much for joining us for our first double feature for the month. We will be returning next week for a special episode because it's going to be our second serving double feature. And we're not going to tell you what films those are going to be because that's going to be a delectable surprise. Thank you so much and stay tuned to the horror.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.